Hi, my name is Caitlin Rivers. I'm a graduate student at Virginia Tech, and today I will be speaking on helping networks of older adults in Appalachia. And I have no relationships to disclose. So a little bit about this study. I was really interested in care networks of older adults in Appalachia, and in particular, where older adults get their help, who helps them, why those people help, and the kind of tasks that they need help with. And I'm going to define helpers as being distinct from caregivers here because the helpers that we spoke with ranged from someone who lived with the older adult and provided pretty much all of the help that they needed to friends and family members who maybe helped out when they needed their gutter cleaned or something like that. So it's not quite caregiving. It's something a little less intensive. And this is particularly important because Healthy People 2020, which is, of course, sets the public health objectives for the decade for the public health community, really targets the lack of services and supports of older adults and their caregivers. For example, one of the objectives is to reduce the proportion of unpaid caregivers of older adults who report an unmet need for caregiver support services. And it's particularly important in Appalachia because it's an under-resourced region. So this study took place in 2001 in Southwest Virginia, which is a part of Appalachia. And the survey was with 143 older adults, and it started out by asking them the number, type, and nature of sources of support. And those older adults were then asked to name someone who provided them help. And those people were then contacted and asked their reasons for helping, the extent of support they provided, and their perception of formal community services. And by that, I mean things like respite care, transportation services, meal delivery, those sorts of formal services that can help provide care for older adults. We had four hypotheses going into this, which I see are mislabeled, I apologize. The first was that older adult and helper service sentiments are correlated. So once again, these are dyads, and we suspected that the service sentiments of each dyad would be related between in the dyadic relationship. The second one were that poor physical and psychological health would be associated with positive service sentiments and therefore a greater reported likelihood of using services. So the thought here was that as needs increased, people would be more likely to view services as being a potential outlet for their care needs. Third, we thought that given the rurality of the sample, the availability and cost of services would be perceived as barriers to formal use because once again, Appalachia is rural, it tends to be poor, and services might be viewed as not being either available or attainable. And finally, we thought that positive service sentiments would be associated with a greater reported likelihood of using services in the future, which sort of stands to reason that if people feel more positively about services, they're more likely to say that they will turn to them if they need them. A little bit about our older adult sample. The sample ranged from 65 to 95 with a mean age of 76. Most were female, widowed, and white. The white really reflects the demographics of the region. Protestant, a full three-quarters reported being in either poor or fair health. The mean income was about $1,300 a month, and 91% were long-term residents of the region, and that being 20 or more years in the region, so they really had strong ties to the community. And a majority described religion as being very important to them. The helpers were primarily adult children of the older adult. The mean age was 52, but there was a huge spread from 24 to 85. Most were white, married, with an income of $2,300 a month. Most had children, described religion as very important to them, and a full 81% had at least a high school diploma. About a third were full-time employees, and about a quarter described themselves as homemakers, and they were generally either in good or excellent health. When asked why they provided help, and helpers could respond to more than one option here, most said that they had the time, and that was a big motivation for providing help. And a majority also said they believe it is their obligation for various reasons, some of which are in the third bullet there, relational expectations. And this was sort of a fill-in-the-blank, so they were asked, is there any other reason you provide help? And a full half said something like, well, she's my mom, or I love her, something like that. And that was, once again, just sort of fill in the blank there, which was interesting. Over a third said that the older adult prefers not to rely on strangers, and that was a motivating reason for the helper providing help. And a third said that they fear criticism from other family members if they were to fail to provide help. Here I have the functional limitations that the older adults described. So when asked the kinds of things that they needed help with, a majority were instrumental activities of daily living. and things like heavy housework, driving, and home repairs were often needed. And a smaller proportion needed help with activities of daily living like bathing or showering or walking across the room. And among instrumental activities of daily living, driving and walking one block were the tasks that they required the most help with. And among ADLs, about a third needed help with taking the stairs. So you can see on the graph there that the x-axis is the percent of adults who report needing help with a task. And then there's a variety of tasks. And the blue is instrumental activities, and the orange is activities. So there's quite a spread, but for the majority of their intensive tasks like heavy housework. When the dyads were asked about their sentiments about community services, which once again include things like respite care, transportation services, and so on, they were generally positive. A majority said that they trust people who work for community services to help the older adult. They believe that family would support community service use, and we saw earlier that family is a big motivator for turning to help and providing those decisions. And about 3/4 said they believe community services would provide good care. For the instrumental activities of daily living, about 85%, depending on the task, relied on family, whereas about just 15% relied on friends. However, when it came to regular activities of daily living, people who needed help with more intensive tasks, like bathing, tended to turn to formal services. So about half of people who needed help with bathing relied on formal services, and half relied on friends. And this suggests that while older adults are comfortable relying on friends and family to help with things like cleaning the gutter, as their needs increase, they're more likely to turn to formal services. Returning to the four hypotheses that we started with, the first was that older adult and helper service sentiments would be correlated within the dyads, and we found that this was actually not true. So in the graph there, I'm comparing older adult service sentiments with helper service sentiments, and there is no relationship. So there could be wide variability within the pair. The older adult may really have poor service sentiments, while the helper has positive service sentiments. My second hypothesis was that poor physical or psychological health would be associated with more positive service sentiments. And we found that, in fact, older adult health status and the number of tasks that the older adult needed help with was not associated with service sentiments. However, mobility limitations were. So as the number of mobility limitations increased, service sentiments decreased. And we suspect that could be due to a possible fear of declining independence, and services sort of represented that fear and that declining function. And the graph on the left there describes what best predicted helper depressive symptoms on the CESD scale. And it was actually the reported number of health problems of the helper. So it kind of stands to reason that as the health of the helper declines, that depressive symptoms increased. The third hypothesis was that cost and distance to service providers would be perceived as barriers to formal service use. And while nearly half of older adults and helpers did report that community services were not nearby, that sentiment was not associated with service use sentiments. However, older adults were more likely to report that services were either not nearby or that they were hard to find relative to their helper. The final hypothesis was that positive service sentiments would be associated with a greater likelihood of using formal services, and we found that that is true. So as service sentiments became more positive, people were more likely to report that they would turn to those services in the future. In conclusion, we found that the sample was generally pretty well off in terms of maintaining their independence and having their needs met. So as their health declines, as they age, we expect that the older adults and helpers could both benefit from information about available services in their community. And in particular, any education programs or outreach things should really highlight that service use can help to maintain independence and improve quality of life. And in particular, messages should include helpers because they play a very important role in both the quality of life of the older adult and in the decision about where to turn for services. So those messages to the helpers should highlight services as a supplement, not as a replacement to care, because we saw that for a lot of them, they provided help as a relational expectation and because they loved their older adult or they felt some sort of positive sentiment there. And because we can expect that older adults' needs will increase as they get older, we should be able to provide additional resources to help maintain psychological well-being of the helper as that burden grows.
Thank you very much. People have been terrific on staying on time, and so this was a really important talk looking at dyads and this relationship. Do we have any questions from the audience?
I thought it was interesting that the older adults were less likely to have a positive feeling about services as their need increased or their mobility decreased or what have you. Did you look at whether that was related to previous experience with services, and or was it just their own kind of fear or hypothesis, not based on actual experience?
I looked a little bit, and I found that only 15% of the sample had used services in the past, formal services. So it looks like it's mostly fear of declining independence and what service use might represent.
Could you describe how you measured service sentiments? What kinds of items let you determine what a service sentiment was, whether positive or negative?
There was a series of questions, about 10, and they asked things like, do you believe services will be able to help you? Do you believe they will provide as good of care as family? Things like that, and then they were rated on a Likert scale, and then I summed the scores over the 10 or so questions that measured things about the ability of services to provide adequate care.
What was interesting in looking at one of the biggest needs was transportation, which is so typical of a rural area. Are there, other than, you know, sort of informal in a rural area, are there increasing formal solutions to transportation?
I think it varies widely, and especially in Appalachia, which is under-resourced, there's very few transportation opportunities for older adults, especially those who still live in the community, relative to living in a community home.
Other comments or questions? We invite somebody, there's one seat left, we invite somebody to come sit in it. Oh, that's your seat. So, I love standing room only. Thank you so much. Let's go to our last speaker.